This sleep is a departure from Mark's Gospel to the Gospel of John. Both the miracles that we heard Joe read just now are also in the other three Gospels as well. And as you know, each Gospel writer puts a slightly different slant to it. But one thing we do know, that John never wastes anything. He can look back, he's reflecting. And one of the biggest contrasts between Mark's Gospel and John's Gospel is Mark is actually saying, gradually, Jesus as the Messiah will be revealed. And John almost seems to be doing the opposite. He's saying Jesus is the Messiah, and he's pointing out why. And we have a very science to the Gospel. And it's also interesting to note that actually, Jesus here is saying it's the Passover time. At least John is saying it's the Passover time. And so it's almost a looking back and a looking forward when we come to the feeding. Because if you go back to the Old Testament, the Passover is remembered as that time when God led the people of Israel out of slavery into Egypt, and that journey towards the Promised Land. And as we look forward, the next time we read about Jesus in the Passover is when he's coming to the end of his earthly life, where he's going to be tried, arrested, crucified, and also when he'll rise again. And there's so much we can take in from here, but looking back and looking forward in the breaking of the bread. And later on, we'll be remembering that Passover as we receive communion. But I found it interesting that Jesus said, looked up and saw the crowd coming towards him. And he said, what shall we buy for those people to eat? And he asked it to one person, Philip. And I wonder if Jesus said to us, how can we feed the people of this world? Or even how can we ensure that people of this country or Western world can have enough to eat? What would our response be? And for each of us, it might not be different. And he said to test them. And sometimes God challenges us in our faith and our relationship with him. And Philip was a very practical man. He actually said, well, it will take at least half a year's wages to buy enough rich one just have a bite. And then we come to Andrew. And I don't know what Andrew was doing during this time, but my guess is he was circulating, he was chatting to people, he'd got to know who was around in the crowd, certainly on the fringes near where Jesus was. And he said, there's a lad here with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. So he was aware of who was there, who was around. And that challenged me to think, am I always aware of who else is around? What they've got to offer? Not only within the Church of St. Martin's community, but wider in other things I'm involved with. Do I pray that God will give me that insight and that wisdom to be aware of who's around and what they have to offer? And be able to engage with them in the way that Andrew has been engaging with the crowd and with that lad. But Andrew also had a question. We've got 5 bread and 2 little fishes. What's the point? But what Andrew did was to offer what the lad had. However he felt felt, well, actually, what's the point? But an element of trust that Jesus could do something with it. And Jesus did. So he took a lot of scathe bags and gave out the fish and the bread, as I love this bit, as much as they wanted. So my brother had first helpings, second helpings, and some who were really hungry probably had third helpings. So there was sufficient. And that's sort of a challenge again for me, that actually God's greatness, his love, is sufficient for everyone. It never ends. And sometimes we try and limit what God, what Jesus can do in our lives, in our community, in our faith as a church here. And he said to his disciples, interesting, it wasn't just to say, boy, you, go and pick up leftovers. It was to his disciples, go and pick things up so that nothing is wasted. And sometimes we have to be prepared to step outside what we would like to do because God has asked us. And I think that it must be mind-blowing, not only for disciples, but for everyone that was there, or those who sat down, and even probably some standing. We're told there's 5,000 men, and if you add the women and the children that were around, there were 12 baskets left. You know, I've often wondered where the baskets came from. I'll leave you to ponder on that one. And if you come up now, so let me know. I just love it when we read the gospel stories, how much is left to our imaginations. You know, you sort of think, well, there are 12 baskets. Were disciples just carrying one each? Or were there other people? I just really don't know. Or perhaps they were clever enough to weave them out of the grass. When you get the answer, let me know. And that was a reminder to the disciples and to the people there that Jesus' love and provision overflows. There is sufficient for everyone. And it's not just about what suits me and me being filled. Excuse me a moment. And it's how we react to something like that. Do we respond to Jesus' God's generosity and share it with others? Or do we keep his love and generosity to ourselves? The lad gave of what he had. Andrew didn't know quite what to do with it, but he knew bringing what the lad had to Jesus. Jesus could do something with it. Sometimes we don't know how to work with some people, how to encourage them, and all we can do is to ask and say to God, please bless that person and work in their lives. And one of the lovely things that I found really interesting over the last few years is actually when the church looks open, how many people come in. Some just come in because they're passing and they've never been in, so they want to have a nose, so to speak. Some come in because they came here when they were young or married here, and again, it's that feeling of, you know, just wanting to touch that base roots. And others come in because they feel they need to. They just want a bit of space, even if they wander around, to somehow sense and engage with God. And I just think that's amazing. And some of the conversations that I've had, I've really felt I just need to pray, I can't handle. And I know at last PCC we were reflecting just how many conversations happen with people who sit on the benches out there. is about that reaching out and allowing God to speak and work through him. And to trust that he can use us. And sometimes we can just narrow our image of who Jesus is. We like things, you like things that are doing things our own way. We have our set ways of doing it. And I guess quite a few of us at times just narrow how we see Jesus. And the crowd somehow sensed that Jesus was special. And they wanted to make him the king. They realized he was a prophet. They wanted him to come and go with them. And they're going to use force. And actually, Jesus is not there on our terms. And we forget that at times. Jesus is beyond us, beyond what we can do, but his love is constantly there. And we cannot contain him in a boxy life that suits us. He's greater than that. And as we allow that to happen, and believe that, then God will really work in our lives and in our community. Jesus then, as we read elsewhere, I think the one is sort of Luke's gospel, when he spoke to Scripture, he went away to spend time in prayer. And his disciples went down to a lake to get back home. And I wonder, how much time did we spend in prayer? Jesus could not do what he did without spending time in prayer. And all the great people who have done things that made an impact on others have spent time in prayer. Sometimes it's well known, the impact they've had, sometimes it isn't. The former Archbishop of Cape Town, Desmond Tutu, apparently used to spend a couple of hours in prayer every morning. And I find that mind-blowing, because my body is, it's at the time, I shouldn't be here. So I have to call that other times. But the other thing is that apparently, wherever he went and whatever he was going to do, he always took a few moments to pray before he engaged with whatever was coming up next. And I find it very easy for me to just feel that roller coaster from here to there to there. But we need to take that time to pray. In whatever way we want to talk to God, whatever language we want to use. But it's as we spend that time, so our lives are open up to just how great and wonderful God is. And we're reminded again, aren't we? On that lake, as the wind blew up, and Jesus came to them. They weren't far from shore. Almost finished their journey. And they were terrified. And I guess we would be terrified if we suddenly saw in a dark, chaotic night a shape come up. I have had that experience sometimes. Come to church in the evening with the spotlights on. I can sense, when I come around that direction, I can sense there's somebody there. But I haven't a clue who it is. I don't have to trust that it's somebody friendly and nice who will speak to me. And they were terrified. And he said, "It is I," or "It is me, don't be afraid." And just like the crowds, the disciples wanted to contain Jesus. They said they wanted to take him into the boat. This is John's gospel we're reading. But actually, they were unsure of that boat. And that challenge is for us. This holiday season, someone's been on holiday, someone's going, someone's going again, others of us will just be at home. It's taking that time to engage with Jesus, speak to him, and realise we can't shape him as we want. God is greater than us, Jesus is greater than us. And as we read, the end of Ephesians, Paul wrote, "Now to him who is able to immeasurably do more than we can all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen." And a slightly different version, and I'll leave you to ponder and pray about it in the days ahead. "So to the one who is capable of doing far, far more than we can ask or imagine, grant his power which is working in us. Grant his power which is working in us. To him be glory in the church and in King Jesus to all generations and to the age of ages." So to the one who is capable of doing far, far more than we can ask or imagine, grant his power which is working in us. To him be glory in the church and in King Jesus to all generations and to the ages of ages. Amen. Please.